K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Eternal God, we thank you today for this wonderful opportunity to give you glory, praise, and honor. Lord, we come before you with many issues, circumstances, difficulties, highs and lows that come with life. But Lord, we thank you this morning that we're still in your presence. And for that, we give you praise. Through it all, you have blessed us and strengthened us for this moment. You helped us survive. You helped us overcome. You helped us get that provision. You've helped us make it. You helped us be victorious, all because of you, that we are who we are and have what we have. And Father, today I'm coming before your presence. We are coming before your presence, confessing there's some sin in us, some shortcoming. Everything is not right. Some I's are not dotted, some T's are not crossed, but we're in your presence. And we ask you, God, for your forgiveness, your mercy. Forgive us, dear Lord, where we have knowingly or unknowingly fallen short of your glory. Yes, Lord. Your word says we can confess it. Yes, you're faithful enough to forgive us.
Yes, God.
And we need your forgiveness. We need your redemptive hand. We don't want to be living bound by guilt,
yes, God.
Self-condemnation, self-destruction. Help us to recover from our mistakes,
yes, Lord.
That we may have made on our way to this place, this space.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we're holding the hand of someone who needs your touch. There's some things they have verbalized. There's some things they have not verbalized. But Father, as I'm squeezing this hand, I pray now that love will come in. Your peace will come in.
Yes,
your power will come in. Your newness, your
yes,
joy, your restoration will come in. I'm trusting God that somebody's praying for me, but I want to pray for my neighbor today.
Yes,
my neighbor's been through some stuff this week that they haven't told a soul. They've had some frustration, some difficulty, maybe some heartbreak, some disappointment. And today I'm squeezing power into my neighbor. I hope, Father, now as I squeeze this love, this whatever, your presence into my neighbor, that they will feel your joy, feel your hope. Don't let them give up, God. Don't let them give up on you. Don't let them give up on themselves. Don't let them give up on life. With every fiber in my being, I'm squeezing life into my brother and sister. That they will not give up. They are healed. They are redeemed. They are restored. They have what you say they can have. They can go where you say they can go. They can do what you say they can do, according to your will, your word, and your way. Whatever barrier, whatever's trying to block, whatever's trying to destroy, with every squeeze I got, with every bit of fiber and love I got, I cancel the assignment of the enemy over my neighbor.
They will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. They will walk in wholeness. They will walk in victory. They will walk with their head up. Every need will be met. Every door will be opened. Every door that needs to close will be closed. In their home, in their mind, their body, in their family. Do it, oh God. You can trust my neighbor. You can trust them to bless them. You can trust them to do it. They won't take the credit. They'll give you the glory as you move in their life, as you move in their situation, as you meet their need, as you take care of them, as you comfort them, as you strengthen them, as you guide them. Please, oh God, prepare that heart. Prepare my brother or sister's heart to hear your word today. They may be victorious. They may have power. They may be enlightened to hear from you. Lord, thank you for my neighbor. Thank you for their life. Thank you for their purpose. Thank you for your spirit that resides. Thank you for the purpose over their life. Thank you for the gifts you've given them. Thank you for giving them victory. Thank you for sitting them next to me. Thank you that they're breathing today. Thank you for their future. Thank you for what's coming. Thank you for how much better it's going to be. Thank you for their elevation. Thank you for their power. Thank you for provision. Thank you for the protection. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, sir. Let them know you love them.
Yes, Lord.
Let them know you care. Let them know they matter to you. Please, oh God, touch them in a mighty way. Touch them in a strong way. I ask for strength in my neighbor today to handle whatever is going on or whatever may be coming in the name of Jesus. I pray especially today, God, that you will give my neighbor joy.
Yes, Lord.
That surpasses understanding, joy in the midst of their trouble. I ask God, as I squeeze that hand one more time, that you will remind them of who you are in them, who they are in you.
Yes, Lord.
That they are more than conquerors.
Yes,
through your Son, Christ Jesus. The Father is not going to be all right. We receive today that it's already all right.
Yes, Lord.
Because your word says so. You've already won the war. Help my neighbor fight the battle.
Yes, Lord.
Help them hang in there. Help them to hold on just a little while longer.
Yes,
for that change to come. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you.
Yes,
we receive it. And we glorify you.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Amen. Now tell your neighbor, be healed.
Yes,
tell them, be healed.
Be healed.
Tell them, be encouraged.
Be encouraged.
Tell them, be strengthened.
Be strengthened.
Tell them, be lifted.
Be lifted.
Tell them, it's already all right.
Already.
Tell them, hang in there. Tell your neighbor, hold on. Come on, minister to them. Tell them, hold on. Tell them, don't you dare give up. Tell them, I'm not going to let you give up. Look them in the eye. Come on, I want to help me preach real quick. Look them in the eye and say, I'm not going to let you give up. I'm not going to let you give up. Tell them, you got me. And more importantly, you got the Lord. Now we do one more favor. Say, neighbor, take about 15 seconds and praise God with me. Come on, tell them. Get you a praise partner. And tell the Lord thank you in this place. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. That's it, that's it, that's it. That's it. Give him glory on this day. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Lift him with your neighbor. Lift him. It's already done. It's already done. He knows what you have need of. He knows what's going on. That's it. That's it. That's it. Glory. Let those tears fall. That's how you get your cleansing. That's how you get your healing. That's how you get your strength. It's okay to cry out in the presence of your God. He knows. He cares. He's got you in his hand. And it's already all right. Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It doesn't make any sense to be that heavy and you in God's presence.
Thank you, Jesus.
You worship your way through.
Jesus.
Praise your way through.
Yes, God.
Power won't solve it.
Hallelujah,
complaining
Jesus.
Won't solve it. But somebody knows if you just keep glorifying God, if you lift him in the midst of, come on, some true believers know today that everything doesn't have to be great to give him a great praise. Everything had to be perfect to still give him your best worship. You'll know you're growing in God when you can bless God in the midst of. Anybody can praise him after, but can somebody give him glory while you're in it? While you're in it, while you're going through, give him glory. And watch how he'll strengthen you. Watch how he'll encourage you. Watch how he'll lift you. Glory. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
I need to tell somebody this. I need to tell someone this. I don't know who this is for. But God is not as mad at you as you are mad at you. God is not mad at you. God loves you. Not because of any good deed. God loves you because you're his. And who God loves, he'll sometimes chastise. But God is not mad at you. God is not, he won't handle you like people handle you. People will give up on you, throw you away, treat you any kind of way. But your God loves you today. And he is not feeling what you think he feels towards you. You're not cursed. I know where I am. You're not cursed. You are not cursed. You are not condemned.
Yes, God.
You are in the hand of God.
Yes, Lord.
And somebody, the only reason some of you are going through is so that you can learn how to trust him in your valley. Because too many of us get conditioned to mountaintop moments that we don't learn how to trust him in the valley.
Yes.
And you got to learn how to trust him and praise him and produce for him in the valley. Even when things are not going the way you want them to go, still find everything you got to give him glory.
Yes.
Say, Lord, I trust you.
Yes, God.
Lord, I'm thanking you. Lord, I believe in you. Anybody still believe God today?
Yes, Lord.
No matter what, I still believe God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
God bless you today.
Hallelujah.
To all of our ministers and leaders and to all of you who are assembled, those online, we thank God for you today. What a blessed day it is to be in the house of the Lord. St. Mark chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark chapter number 1. God bless you today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. That ain't Mark. Mark chapter 1. God bless you today. Now I know what day it is, so I'm going to do my best. Y'all go pretend y'all looking at the scripture and y'all really going to be on that video checking the scores. I'm going to let you get to your Saints and your Cowboys in just a few minutes. I'm proud of y'all. Some of y'all who I know for real, I'm proud of y'all for being here today. I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all showing a great deal of faithfulness today. Y'all, yeah. Somebody called your name, Deacon McFarlane. I didn't call your name. Somebody called your name. St. Mark chapter 1. Bless your heart, man. St. Mark chapter 1.
And I want to commence reading at verse number 29 and a few of the following. St. Mark chapter 1. Chapter number 1. When you find it, say, I got it.
I got it.
Amen. St. Mark chapter 1, beginning verse 29 says, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Say amen for the word of God. Grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Would y'all be so kind to me one more time and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Good morning.
Good morning.
On this Lord's Day, and it's Saints and Cowboys Day. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord.
Neighbor,
neighbor.
Made two good decisions.
You came to worship,
and you sat by me. Now God's word to us today.
Take the Lord.
Home with you. Say amen, amen for the word on today.
Amen.
Take the Lord home with you. Beloved, it is such a joy for some of us, maybe not all, for some of us, to come to this place every week that God allows us to and to celebrate his goodness. What a joy it is for some of us to come to God's house. Sometimes it's cool. Sometimes it's a little warm. But it's good to be able to come to a place where I can give God glory and receive a word from him that I can be better and can do better. I am thankful today. It's not going to be for everybody because some people are just not happy to be in the house of God. Some people just come because of religious affiliation, religious protocols, or because it's just what they typically do on Sundays. But there are a few of us who really get excited about being able to come up this hill and give God glory one more time. Sometimes it's just because God is good to us day in and day out. Sometimes it's because it's been a rough week and God spared you. Some of us come and give him glory every week on Sundays because I didn't go to jail like I could have gone. This week, some people tried me, some people said some stuff, some things happened, and if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. And so sometimes I come give God praise for a good mind. I come and give him glory for things going well or things not being what I want them to be, but I still aspire to come give God glory. I believe today, y'all, that this house of God, the Lord reigns supreme in this place. I believe the Lord's presence reigns here. I believe God's people are come here. And I believe even more importantly, God's word goes forth in this place. And I think we ought to take about 10 seconds to really thank God for his word that goes forth in our lives, that makes us better, that lifts us, that encourages. I thank God for his word that helps us today. We are blessed people. We are a blessed people. And what a joy it is to be able to come into God's house and to give him glory. Then we even benefited to be able to share with other brothers and sisters, people who have different stories, people who have come from different backgrounds, people who have gone through things I don't know about, but I see you in the house of God. And sometimes we can draw strength from one another. Just seeing your face can make somebody feel better. Just being around people can make you feel better. Now there's some that you got who make you kind of feel a certain way, but everybody ain't that somebody. There are some people who love you, and there are some people who love God and you, and they're glad to see you in the house of God. It's a joy today to come and be in the house of God. Sunday morning was not promised to any of us. Somebody say, but God. And God gave you and I another Sunday morning to be able to come to his house and lift our hands, give him glory, do our dance, sing, pray. What up? God has been so good and has prospered us
to be able to be in the house of God one more time. Maybe today this shout may not be for you, but it's for me. You don't even look like what you've been through because of God. See, today some of us see each other. We don't know. We put a lot of work, a lot of clothing on, a lot of makeup and hair, but people don't know the storms you've been through. They don't know the stuff you've faced all week long. They don't know the difficulties you have. You look better than you feel. You look better than what you've gone through, and God let you and I come here and draw strength from one another. We encourage one another. Some people are grieving, but they're here. Some people are not going to feel well, but they're here. Some people got some troubles, but they're here because they know if I come to the house of God, I'll find just what I need. I need about 3 people. I'll be number 4 who can give God praise today that I come here and I never leave disappointed. I never leave here feeling empty because I can come to the house of God and meet Jesus, meet my brother or sister, and I can leave better than I came in Jesus' name. Come on. I need 3 or 4 people who can celebrate God. I never leave the way I came. I leave stronger. I leave better. I'm encouraged. I get corrected. I get rebuked. I get reproved. But I know God loves me because I'm coming to the house of God. What a joy, saints. What a joy. What a joy to come to God's house. What a joy it is to be in God's house. Another Sunday morning. Can I tell you something? You might not like this, but can I tell you something? Not a one of us deserve it. Not a one of us has been good enough. Not a one of us has been talented. Not enough of us are anointed enough, and God still said yes. And somebody ought to give him glory right there because he said yes to another day for us. So,
Thank you, Lord. So
I got to be careful, y'all, about my attitude. I just say be careful. Be careful about your face. Be careful about your countenance. Be careful about what you give off as though God owe you something. I need about 2 people who know it could have been another way if it not been for God. I'm not here today because I'm so good. I'm really here because I know I have not been that good. And God's mercy said no. God's grace said no. He gave me another chance to get better, to be stronger, to be wiser. I thank God today. There's a place we can go. And I pray that when you leave this place every week, that you leave here better.
Yes,
the issue we have is, it's something that happens between this place and when we get home. Because it doesn't make any sense to go through all we go through, shout like we shout, receive all we receive, and go home defeated.
Right.
Makes no sense
right.
that our home life can't match our church life.
Right.
And when you try to overcompensate for something, that means put on.
Right.
And when you try to, some of us real get real churchy because we ain't good home.
Right.
We try to run stuff in church because we can't run the house. The house is out of order. The house is out of whack. And so we try to come to God's house and we'll sometimes bring them a lot of stuff. But I come today to talk to 3 or 4 people who are willing to receive that I want the Lord not to come and look at my house. I want the Lord to come in my house. I want the Lord to come to every corner. I want him in every room. I want him in every situation. I want him in my light bulbs. I want him in my washer and dryer. I want him over my utilities. I want the Lord in my house. But here's the issue. The issue for us today is you got to bring him. You and I have the responsibility to bring the Lord into our own home.
Right.
Now, there are 2 meanings we're going to use today for the home. It's our physical home, but then it's our spiritual home.
Yes.
That we got to make sure we bring the Lord into our hearts, into our mind, and our thinking. It is time for us to develop our relationship with God and be stronger in him. We need to get beyond God, this old fake or unauthentic way of worshiping God. See, we can't be conditional believers. Today, y'all, God's been too good for us to be conditional. That means that I can't just give him glory when I feel good. I can't just be consistent when I feel like it. I need to sometimes give him a broke praise.
Yeah.
I need to sometimes give him a sick praise.
Yeah.
That I got a bad report, but I'm going to still give him glory. Things ain't the way I want it to be, but I'm going to still give him glory. See, you know you're really walking in God, and God is in your home, when no matter what's going on around me or in me, I can still glorify my God. Now, the world will say you crazy. The world will say you stupid. And the world will say you're a fanatic. Well, if I'm stupid, I'm stupid for him. If I'm a fanatic, I'm a fanatic for him. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it brings strength to us, it delivers us, it sustains us, and protects us.
Yes, Lord.
Today, all I came to tell you, take the Lord home with you. And our text today is Taylor, teach us some things about how to bring the Lord home with you and what the blessings of bringing the Lord home. Our text in Mark chapter 1, that Jesus has been on the journey in chapter 1 of bringing some disciples in, and he's got Peter and who's called Simon here, and his brother Andrew and James and John, these fishermen who have been called by the Lord Jesus for ministry. And it's interesting, beloved, let's look at Peter as one of the principal characters of our text today, because Peter is going to be one in the book of Acts who's going to preach a sermon and 3,000 people get saved. It's going to be the same Peter who's going to be looked at as one of the bishops of the church, one of the first pastors of the New Testament church. God's got good plans for Peter. He took him on the mountain of transfiguration, Mount Hermon. He has been with the Lord through some difficult situations. He's seen God move in some tough ways. It's that same Peter. It's the same Peter who's very outspoken, yet he got some troubles. He's outspoken, but he trusts God. He is Peter. He's the same one who says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, you thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. It's the same Peter that the Lord is getting ready to use to do great things for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, and to represent him. But you know what's interesting? It won't do a bit of good for Peter to go to Jerusalem and preach to 3,000. It don't do him a bit of good to go to high mountains and low valleys with the Lord and see the Lord do amazing things and never bring the Lord home.
That's good.
I'm going to try it again. What good is it good for him to have a public ministry and no private ministry? What good is for him to be a success in the world and a failure at home? Because he don't want to bring the Lord home.
Right.
And that's a word of caution to those of us who are church people, those of us who are committed to the work of God, that we ought to make sure if we're going to be used by God to go talk to other people, we ought to be able to talk to the people in our very own home.
Right. Right.
The text is Taylor teach us that they have an experience in the synagogue. They have an experience in the house of God where Jesus comes in and speaks with authority and clarity. He speaks and does amazing things. He delivers this man who has a demonic spirit in him. And in the name of Jesus, Jesus does this. He delivers this man of a demonic spirit in the church. They get mad at Jesus because Jesus is showing himself as amazing, as authority, and he didn't come their way. And he got Peter is at church. But look what happens in the text. It begins today with number one, a genuine invitation. When you bring the Lord into your house, it must be a genuine invitation. Y'all with me still? Verse 29 says, immediately, forthwith, right after church, Peter and Andrew say, Jesus, come to our house. You got your Bible open? Look at verse 29 again. Forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Watch this. The text does not say, beloved, y'all watching me still? It does not say Jesus brought them to Peter's house. It said that Andrew brought Jesus to his house. Don't miss that, because I want to share something with you about your Jesus. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He can do all things, but he's not going to come where he's not wanted.
Right, 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 right.
He's not going to come any house, any heart, any mind where he's not wanted. Somebody ought to give God glory that he's a gentleman. He don't break in. He must be welcomed in. And I believe today I'm talking to people who have not given the Lord a genuine invitation. You've told the Lord to heal you. You've asked the Lord to make that way. You've asked the Lord to open doors. You've asked the Lord to pay your bill. You've asked the Lord to help your child. You've asked the Lord to save your husband. But have you ever asked the Lord, come on in? Have you made that declaration? Have you asked the Lord to come in? Text says, Simon and Andrew, bring Jesus to this house after worship. That means if we're going to do real ministry, y'all ready? You got to get him out of here.
That's good.
Can somebody join the preacher today and say, we're going to take Jesus outside the church too?
We're not going to just come and do all this singing and shouting and preaching and laying hands, and we ain't got no power to lead out of this building. I want to talk to people today who are interested in bringing the Lord outside of the four walls of a sanctuary. He's too big to limit him to Sunday morning. He's too big to limit him to just one day a week. I want the Lord in the school board. I want the Lord at the bank. I need the Lord in the lawyer. I need the Lord in the courthouse. I need the Lord at City Hall. I want the Lord on the highway. I need the Lord on the byways. I need the Lord everywhere. But are we going to take him there? Because you know something now. Truth of it is, when you welcome the Lord in, we don't know what kind of shape the house is in. You don't invite company over until after you clean. You tidy up, you straighten up before company come. But what happens when company come and you ain't cleaned up? Oh, Lord. Text says, church is over. And they've seen a great move of God in the synagogue. They've seen him deliver. They've seen him, they've heard him speak. They've seen his power at work, right? But now the Bible says, after church, they still with Jesus. Y'all missing me? Church is over. They said, reach up, reach out, reach in, and said, amen. Church is over, but they ain't through with Jesus.
That's right.
This is the right word. It got to be, because y'all looking at me crazy. This must be the right word. Because typically, when we say amen, we leave the Lord right here. And beloved, if we're going to be what God wants to be and be who God called us to be, you got to say, Lord, come with me.
Yeah.
Stop leaving the Lord in here. Yeah. And then try to pick him up next week.
Right.
Uh-oh, Ham.
Right.
Because it's already on your mind, because if I take Jesus home, I may not can do some stuff at home.
My God.
Because you know what the Lord represents. And you ain't finna invite the Lord where he's really not wanted. These brethren say, and look what this, it's easy, it's real nice too, because that ain't James and John house. But y'all can come too. It's got to be a genuine invitation. Y'all didn't like that point, but I had to get that point to you. But it's got to be a genuine invitation. Your Lord is a gentleman. He's not going to come anywhere. Tell him I said it. He's not going anywhere. He's not wanted. That's why he says in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Old 14th century artist drew a picture of this. And the latch on the door was on the inside and not on the outside. Because the Lord must be brought in. He's not going to force himself in anywhere. So I say this to you to mean that. I say this to you today. If you don't want the Lord, that's between you and him.
Yeah.
Stop lying. I'm sorry. No, I ain't. Stop lying and saying the Lord made me. The Lord encourages. The Lord gives you options. But the Lord don't make any of us do anything. And he knows who's really invited him in or not. Do you really want the Lord to go to your house?
Oh, yeah.
Too many of us want to keep the Lord confined to where we want him to be. Mm-hmm. Because when the Lord come to your house, you know something going to change.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's right.
Y'all still with me?
Right.
What's the score? Y'all still with me? It's a genuine invitation. But then secondly, comes a gracious intervention. Text shows us today that in this house, Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. Luke, the great physician, says it was a great fever, which means this is more than just having something more than 98.6 degrees, that she was at a dangerous point for Dr. Luke to call it a great fever. Watch this. She's in Peter's house, which means that his mother-in-law lived with Peter and his wife.
Yeah.
My. Typically, That's kind of an oppositional relationship. But Peter's got this person who he's accountable for in his house. And what he's got in his house is infected. Because fevers show us, anytime you got a fever, you've probably got an infection. It's something that's infected on the inside and is manifesting in fever on the outside. And I want you to do a little inventory today. How many of y'all got some infected stuff in your house and you need the Lord to come on in? You got some infections going on. It's something at the root that ain't right, but it's manifesting in and arguing and fighting and we ain't smiling and we ain't paying our bills and we tripping with each other. They got their room and you got your room and the kids ain't talking to you and you ain't talking to the kids. You're beating them all day long and don't want to cook, don't want to come home, don't want to do right, it's some infections, I tell you. Okay, I'm just going to talk about Simon then. Y'all don't want to do this, so I'm going to talk about Simon says, not the game, Simon says that his mother-in-law lay in the bed with a fever. And I told you, Dr. Luke says it's a great fever. And if she's got a fever, that means she's got an infection. Now, I got a problem here. Because at church, I've seen people healed. At church, I'm seeing people delivered. At church, I'm seeing demonic people be delivered and cleansed. And I go to all that church and got mess in the house.
My God. That's good.
Simon Peter, has been called by the Lord. But at home is some sick. Mm-hmm. Let me try it one more time. He has been called by the Lord for ministry. Mm-hmm. But he got some ministry needs.
Right. At home.
And it don't make good sense to go to church and watch other folk be delivered.
Right.
And then in my house I got stuff. Mm-hmm. Y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading?
Good.
I'm going to try it one more time because I love you. They went to church in the synagogue. And Jesus spoke a word with authority. He spoke powerfully. Here came a man with unclean spirits. The Lord delivered him of those unclean spirits. Made them devils got mad because the Lord made them get out of that man. They leave church, but Peter brings the Lord to his house knowing some ain't right in the house. In the house is his mother-in-law, who is not westernized. Because in these cultures, they love their mother-in-law. In this culture, you don't like your mother-in-law. But she's in the house, which means that the mother-in-law's husband must be dead. Which means that Peter now is responsible for what goes on. You mean tell me I'm going to go to all that church and still got sick people?
That's good.
Here it is.
Amen.
Y'all ready? She's sick. Here's the critical point. They tell Jesus about it.
That's good. That's right. That's good. Amen.
Peter brings Jesus home. In his house, in the bed, back in the room, is his mother-in-law sick with a fever. But Jesus only got as far as the guest room, the living room, and the kitchen. The Bible says they tell Jesus about what's going on where you can't see. They ask the Lord to look deeper. Go deep. Don't just look at the bricks.
Yeah.
Don't look at the satellite.
Right.
Don't just look at my new furniture.
Mm-hmm.
It's some on my furniture that's infected.
Yes, Lord.
And it needs your help.
Right.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Because we're in church today. Mm-hmm. And we're finna come and show up here at church.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna leave here with the power to ask him to come in.
That's good.
Boy, you got the Lord come and really see what's going on.
My God.
Or you go tell him about the stuff that's not at the forefront. Or we post about when my child get good grades. I get that new car, I post that. But did you post when 3 months later they can't repo that car? Post it when it's coming. Post it when it's leaving. Oh, you post when y'all go out to eat. Do you post when she don't ever cook? You post when he get a touchdown. Do you post when he in-house and suspended? Do we tell the real truth about what's in our home, in our hearts, and in our real homes? Or do we tell the Lord what we want him to know? Because I got this title. That's why I told y'all about Simon Peter and what God got ready for him. But you can't help them till you learn how to help yourself. And it makes good sense. Lord, come to my house. I'm out here making all these visits, doing mission everywhere else. I need some missionaries to come to my house.
That's good. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Do you know why it's done got awkward in the room? Can I tell you why it's done got awkward and online? Because God got this preacher telling you the truth.
That's good.
Can I tell you why else? Because most of us come here so he won't go home. I come to try to beat him to the punch. Let me go and meet him here. Because if he come to my house, he gonna see I ain't as perfect as I've been trying to make y'all out to be. See, we come to church with matching outfits. I'm with her. I'm with him shirts. But at home, you point other fingers at each other. I'll preach it by myself. That's all right. I'll preach it by myself. You come around people in the synagogue and make it look like it's better than it is. But when y'all get home, y'all even talk to each other. Because you got a title. You got this image that you're trying to hold up. Y'all been fronting like y'all all that. And it wouldn't look good to the culture for people to find out you just as infected as everybody else. Because you got people in the synagogue, food. We ain't got no problems. We come in skinning and grin every Sunday. And time we get to the car, don't talk to me. I ain't gonna talk to you. Ask me somebody what I'm cooking. I'm gonna cook some hot grits. Y'all connect the dots. And my prayer, y'all, I'm so for real. God really want to minister to us today. I'm so for real. That you will have the trust in God to not front anymore.
Amen.
Can I help you? These people you trying to impress got just as many infections
right,
as you got.
Right. That's right.
My prayer is that our ministry will go beyond who's trying to outfront one another. From the pulpit to the pew, we all need the Lord to come in our house, to come in our heart, to come in our mind, to please help my children, please help this husband, please help this wife. Lord, please help me. If we really be for real, we all need the Lord to come into our situation and make this thing better. I want to free you today, brother or sister, because you looking at some brother or sister in church with their nose up in the air, with their mouth all primped, looking like they ain't never made a mistake. And when they pass gas and smell like roses, the devil is a liar. They got mess too. They just hide it better. They got mess too. They don't want you to know. They need the Lord just like you do.
Yes,
Every last one of us. And you sit here thinking that you can't be honest about it. That's why, I better leave it alone. That's why we can't do real ministry. Because we won't be honest. That's why women of Zion go keep being a joke. Brotherhood go keep being a joke. Small group go peek in the joke because we won't tell the truth about the real us. Because you want them girls jealous of you. You want them guys thinking you got it all together. Real ministry. Hey, look, y'all, I'm here because I need some help. I got some stuff in my house that ain't right. Y'all can judge me all you want to, but my husband don't act right. My children gone crazy, and I need the brothers and sisters to pray with me. I'm not fronting. I'm not trying to pretend. I'm here saying I need a touch from the Lord. Bible says, is something wrong? But they asked the Lord to help them. Y'all missing it. It's something wrong in there. And guess what? The Lord already knew. It was a feverish mother-in-law in the house. He wants to see, are you going to tell me about it? Because telling the Lord about it shows that you're going to trust him to come to the parts you ain't showed nobody. I know it's heavy. I know it's heavy. Because we done came fronting today. Over half of us ain't told the Lord what's really going on. And over half of you can't worship him and praise him like you should because you're trying to pretend. Because you're really on at a breaking point. You're really on the edge. And if you show any emotion at this season, people gonna want to know what's going on. Must be something going on. She ain't never cut up like that. He ain't never cried like that. You better get these people who are looking at you off your mind, and you better open your eyes and open your mouth and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, ain't nowhere else for me to go. I need to come. I got the real people. I'll do it first. Father, I need you. I'm a preacher. I'm called. I'm anointed, but I struggle. And I need you in my heart. I need you in my mind. I need you in my home. Anybody else going to join me today? You got to learn how to be anointed and afflicted. Now, the enemy can make us ignorant, foolish. You know how? Because something ain't right at home, you know what he'll do? He'll have you stay home and never even go to the synagogue. Now you won't go to get Jesus, and then you can't bring him home. And so you're going to stay home and try to hide the fever. Because if I come to the synagogue and tell people it's a fever in my house, they're going to be wondering how you got a fever in your house, and you're supposed to be saved and Holy Ghost filled. So what you'll do is, because you're shamed and don't want nobody talking about you, you'll just stay home. Now the fever getting worse, now infections are spreading, and your house tore up because you got pride. You so busy worrying about people talking about you that you won't talk to the Lord concerning the people. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen.
That's good.
So they bring the Lord. Talk to the Lord. The Lord comes in. Bible says the woman back there really sick. He intervenes in this situation. You tell the Lord what's going on, he'll come on in and fix it. Now watch this. He came, verse 31 says, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Yo, that don't seem right. Because you got a fever. And when you got a fever, the worst thing you can do or feel like doing is moving. If you're sick with a fever, you can't get up. But when the Lord comes in, he picks her up.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Oh, missed it. Totally missed it. You've got, when you bring the Lord in your house, there's going to be a moment, you ready, where you give him control.
That's good.
You know, I appreciate Simon here. I appreciate Andrew. And I really appreciate James and John because it ain't y'all house, so be quiet. Y'all will catch that sometime this week. If it ain't your house, keep your mouth off of it. Because your day coming, well, something gonna come in your house. I'm not inviting you so you can go tell everybody. Oh. I'm inviting you in because I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be another sermon down the road. Listen now. You got to be able to take your hands off of it and let him put his hands on it. Are y'all listening to me? He comes in, grabs her by the hand, lifts her up. Nowhere in the text, can I bring this scripture to today? Nowhere in the text does Simon or Andrew say, don't do it like that. You need to give him some vitamin C first. Jesus, don't do it like that. That ain't how you break a fever, Jesus. Don't mess with her hand. She laying down. Don't bother her. Prayer is getting it to God and taking your doggone hands off of it. Now, stop telling the Lord. He gonna have his way. Have your way, Lord, and you still up worrying. If you're going to stop worrying, don't waste your time praying to him.
That's good.
Who's going to be God? You or him?
You then got quiet.
Because, see, watch here. The fever is out of your control. Obviously, you can't fix it. But now when the Lord come in, you're going to give him tips and suggestions. And it's already clear. You don't know what you're doing. But when the Lord show up, yes, that's what I was getting ready to do. I was getting ready to go put my... I'm trying to help somebody who's trying to fix it themselves. You can't do this by yourself. You got to have the Lord to come in and take control. I dare you. Just take one day a week. One day. You keep the belt by you. Keep the belt. But I dare you one day, lay your hands on that child and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Whoopings ain't doing this, Father. Grounding is something deeper than grounding and whipping. There's a spirit in this child that's rebellious. They don't like authority. And I come ask you now, Holy Spirit, come take complete control that you move in my child's mind and you rebuke whatever spirit. Because I see what can happen if he don't listen now, he ain't gonna listen down the road. And Lord, I want you to save him. I need you to touch him. I need you to heal him. And I'm asking you now, Father, come in his room, come in his mind, come in his ears, protect. That's the way how you do it. You get the Lord control. Then. Lord, give me strength to hold what you gave him. Give me wisdom and discernment. Because when you're really disciplined, it don't take too many whoopings. Now, Lord, help me. Infected people can't help other infected people. You can't discipline nobody. And you ain't got none. See, you don't listen. We talked last week about them spirits, didn't we? You don't listen. And you gave birth to something else that don't listen. So maybe the best way to do this is modeling the behavior you want to see.
That's good. Amen.
Because if you're infected, both of y'all need some help, seem like. I'll stay till y'all kind of get with me. Uh-huh. Y'all hanging with me still? See, sometimes the people who praying need to deal with themselves first. Because something, this fever, y'all finna get mad. I'm gonna make y'all mad on purpose right here. I'm gonna make you mad on purpose. Mr. Moss, you know what's interesting here? This fever, this infection, kept this mother-in-law from the synagogue. So you think you're slick, spirit. You think the Lord only go to church. But I'm going to fix you. I'm going to bring this word. I'm going to bring prayer. I'm going to bring this music up in this house where you think you're going to run things. I'm going to bring a Holy Ghost anointing. I'm going to put some all over this room. I'm going to put some all over you. You might slip off the bed by the time you go to bed tonight, but I'm going to do something. Because, see, infections want to keep you stayed where and think that the Lord ain't going to come. See, the more you missing the synagogue, you think you're missing Jesus. And the enemy will keep you conflicted with stuff to make you stay and never go get what you need. But when you bring him home, because the Lord ain't limited to a building. Now, he may reveal you got some infection. But at least you got enough sense to bring him home.
That's right.
Thank God.
Amen.
For a
Amen.
Gracious intervention.
Amen.
Let me leave y'all on because this is a rough Sunday. This is a rough Sunday.
Good.
And secondly, thirdly, comes a glorious indication.
Amen.
How do we know that the Lord moved? It ain't that the Lord just touched her by the hand. Not that the Lord just lifted her up. Child, she got up and started serving.
Yeah.
Y'all missed it. The text says, the Lord came in and touched her and lifted her up. And the indication that the Lord did it is that she's serving the God who lifted her. I'm going to try it one more time. The indication that the fever is gone is that you got enough sense now because real fever make you delirious.
Yeah.
Fever have you out your mind. But when the Lord done delivered you, you're going to be sitting clothed in your right mind and you will be serving the Lord. I ain't making this up. It's right there in the text. The text says that when the Lord raised her, y'all ready for this? Ain't nobody have to tell her. When the first thing she did, when she got up, let me go fix y'all. Y'all hungry? Let me go fix y'all some peas. I'm so grateful, Jesus, that you lifted me up. I can't wait to serve you. I can't wait to bless you. I can't wait to do anything I can for you because there was a time I couldn't do nothing. The fever was too bad. The infection was too deep. But the Lord raised me, and the indication that the Lord has blessed me is that I get to serve him. Ain't nothing worse than folks who have been delivered still be sorry.
That's good.
What do you do when you got people still in the bed and ain't got no fever, Bruce? The Lord done healed you and you still in the bed. Still laid out, won't do nothing.